The title of my sermon tonight is To Be Like Jesus. To Be Like Jesus. We find that in Romans 8 in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And then it said this: to be conformed to the image of his Son. To be conformed to the image of his Son. In other words, to be like Jesus. Now, we can praise God tonight for his love and mercy that he has given to each and all of his people. What a wonderful thing tonight it is to have God's so great salvation. That this God of heaven, in his love and mercy, would ever save the likes of us. What a wonder that is. We sing that wee hymn with the boys and girls sometimes. Yes, Jesus loves me. I'm amazed tonight that Christ would love me. But he does. And dear child of God tonight, he loves us. We see this in the cross work of Christ, the man of sorrows, the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world and to die upon the cross in order that we might be partakers of God's wonderful salvation. There are many things in this world tonight I haven't got. There are many things in this world tonight you haven't got. But they've got the greatest blessing: God's wonderful salvation. In God's salvation, his people, the Bible informs us, have been freed from their sin. The Lord Jesus said that in John 8 and verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And if we would cast our minds back to the time before we were saved, we were held by the devil and we were held by sin. Some of us were held to public houses. Some maybe to gambling houses. Some perhaps to drugs or some other sin. We were chained to the devil and to sin. But when God saved us, we were set free. Do we not sing that gospel hymn? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. And in God's salvation, we're set free. And that's pictured for us there in the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. They were set free from that land of bondage. Thank God, in salvation, I am free. In God's salvation, we have been delivered from the wrath to come. People laugh about this doctrine that is found in the Bible. God's wrath to come. John the Baptist says, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And as I read the Bible tells me a day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will come. Not, dear friends, as a Savior, but he will come as a judge. He will come as the King to pour out wrath upon all those who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, we are saved tonight. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, was delivered us from the wrath to come. We have been delivered from the wrath of God that is to come. We have been saved from ever going to hell. We will never be punished for our sins because of God's great salvation. And there are many other lessons to learn about what is entailed in God's salvation. But our text tonight informs us, not only are we free from sin, not only are we saved from the wrath of God, but it tells us here in salvation, God transforms his people into the image of Christ. For it says to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now that is very, very clear. The word image means a likeness. A likeness. And you know, it tells us here that in God's salvation, God wants to make me like Jesus. And God wants you to be like Jesus. That is, dear friends, here found in this great text. To be conformed to the image of a Son. And can I say, first of all, conformity to Christ is the grand purpose of God. This conformity to Christ is God's plan and purpose for his people. Look at the setting here where this text is found. It is dealing with one great, great truth. God's sovereign purpose for his people. And you can go through every one of them. It tells us here, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. In verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And there you have all the links of our salvation. God has foreknown us. God has predestinated us. God has called us. God has justified us. And it tells us here, God will glorify his people. The great links of salvation is found here in this passage. That is the grand purpose of God. That's what God does in gospel missions. That is what God is doing all over the world. Today he is calling people whom he has chosen. They are being justified. They are being saved. They are being forgiven. And they will be glorified and brought to heaven. That is the grand purpose of God. And in the middle of all of this, it says this, to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is in the grand purpose of God, friends, that we would be like Jesus. Now that doesn't mean outwardly. That doesn't mean that we're all outwardly going to have the same physical appearance of Christ. This is speaking about an inward work. Because in Galatians 4 and verse 19, when Paul was writing to that church, he said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." What is the words of this people? Christ be formed in you. He is not speaking about getting a deeper knowledge of Christ or of Christian doctrine. But he is speaking here about the forming of Christ in them. And it is the will of God for all of us here tonight that we become like Jesus. That we become more like the image of Christ. In my study of this, I came across a couple, a queer couple, I must add, from America. And they were making money because they got these candles and they said this, to smell like Jesus. To smell like Jesus. And they were making money. There were fools buying them. Now they quoted Psalm 45 verse 8 speaks about the Messianic Psalm referring to Christ and his garments of myrrh, aloe and cassia. And they were getting all this mixture in together, mixing it all up, and they were getting this little candle and they were selling them, they were called his essence, and they were selling them like hotcakes. And they were saying, well, to smell like Jesus. Is that what God wants? Is that why God has called us? Is that why God has justified us? That we would smell like Jesus. No, dear friend, that's not what the Lord wants with us here. When it talks about being conformed to the image of his Son, can I say, what is the image of Christ like? Now, I want to be brief on these points, because there's a number of things I could look at. What about the holiness of Christ? That's the divine image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The great high priest there in the tabernacle and in the temple on his mitre. This was stamped upon his head, holiness unto the Lord. Dear friends, when I look at Christ, what do we see? Holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. In Hebrews 7 verse 26, speaking of Christ, for such an high priest became us who was holy. Separate, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And here it is, Apostle Paul speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells us here who is holy. The Lord Jesus Christ then is holy. There is no sin in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the image of Christ. And God wants to conform us to be like the image of Christ. Listen. Be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1 verse 15 says. This is the divine command of God. It is the divine will of God for all of his people. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And I ask you the question, do you see this image of Christ being formed in you? Holiness. Holiness, dear friends. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And God's plan is to conform me into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here the holiness of Christ. There was none like the Lord Jesus. He never sinned in word or thought or deed. In fact, he could not sin. He is God of very gods. And yes, God's great plan in redemption is to stamp this image on you and I, friends. Holiness. We were singing that great hymn. I want, dear Lord, a heart that is true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean. How are we getting on then with this image of Christ being formed in us? God wants this stamp of holiness, the holiness of Christ, to be placed upon us. Oh dear friends, I look at Christ, I think of the heart of Christ. You know what a heart the Lord Jesus Christ had for those that were lost. What a love the Lord Jesus Christ had for those who were in their sins. Because over in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36 it says of Christ, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the heart of Christ. And he looks at this great multitude of people, and his heart, in a sense, friend, is moved. His heart is full of compassion because he sees the people lost. He sees a people with no shepherd. He sees a people in danger. And dear friends, his heart is moved. When's the last time your heart was moved for the lost? When's the last time you cried over people who's lost? People who are in their sins, who are still on a broad road that leads to destruction. The heart of Christ. He was moved, dear friends, with compassion for those who are lost. We'll be singing that in our hymn, I want, dear Lord, a love that feels for all. A deep, strong love that answers every call. A love like thine, a love divine. A love for high and low. On me, dear Lord, a love like this bestow. The heart of Christ. I know over the mission, well, we felt a burden for the lost. And we sought to win the lost, every one of them, sure, in some way. Oh, to have this heart of Christ, a love that feels for all. Think also in the image of Christ, the honesty of Christ. In 1 Peter 2, verse 22, says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Now, refers here to his language. Guile means craft or deceit. As one commentator says, he was in all respects what he professed to be. The honesty of Christ. There was no guile in his mouth. There was no deceit in his mouth. The Lord Jesus, well, he never told lies. Mind the enemies listen. Then the crowd around the Lord Jesus to, well, entangle him in his talk. They listened carefully. They asked him question after question after question. And they listened and they, in a sense, hung upon every word that came out of the mouth of Christ. But our friends, there's no guile. There's no deceit in the life or the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. The old Pharisees were so different. They dressed themselves up with all their fancy garments. And no doubt their fancy words. In Matthew 23 verse 25, the Lord Jesus says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Hypocrites, says Christ. Here were people who were deceitful. And here were people who were liars. Pretending. They were the pretenders. For he says, you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but but within they are full of extortion and excess. Ah, friends, you see, there is plenty of guile and plenty of deceit in the lies and lips of the old Pharisees. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, the honesty of Christ, there was no guile, there was no craft, there was no deceit in the life of Christ. Make me more like Christ. Let us be like Christ in the matter of honesty, friends. The Bible talks about the armour of God as the girdle of truth. Let us be people who always tell the truth. Let this be stamped upon us. It says in Ephesians 4 verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. And here he's writing to believers, and he's saying to these believers, well, put away lying, to be conformed to the image of his Son. The stamp of honesty. Oh, friends, it's good to know to be an honest person. Maybe you're working and people's wondering how you can be so honest. How you'll tell the truth. If you get you more money maybe to tell lies, you'd lose far more, friends. You'd lose your reputation. You'd lose your testimony for Christ by telling lies. To be conformed to the image of his Son, the honesty of Christ stamped upon us. Think of the hands of Christ. The Bible says in Acts 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And here it talks about the hands of Christ. He went about doing good. His whole life was doing good. Working. Helping those who were sick. Helping those who were poor. Helping those who were blind. The hands of Christ was laid upon those in need for him. You see, he went about doing good. Oh, dear friends, if it can be said of you and I, that we go about doing good. Working for the Master. Doing whatever we can with our own hands. Serving the Master. You see, the hands of Christ. In his performances and in prayer, because it says in Luke 6 verse 12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And we think of hands, of course, sometimes when we come to pray. The lifting up of the hands the Bible speaks about in prayer. How do we use our hands then? We want to be the image of Christ stamped upon us and doing good. And friends, you'll always do good when you come to pray. Prayer time's not wasted time. The devil comes against us. The devil, well, would hinder us. He says, well, you're wasting your time. Ah, friends, let the hands of Christ be given to all of us. And let us be people who do good. Let us be men and women who pray. Can we think of the image of Christ? I think of the happiness of Christ. In John 17 verse 13, and now I come I to thee, says Christ, these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That they might have my joy, says Christ, the happiness of Christ. The Lord wants us to be joyful, you know. He doesn't want us to go about with big long faces like pipes. Some people would suggest that we should. And it nearly would be a sin to laugh. I think it was Spurgeon said one time, he'd rather see his congregation laughing than sleeping. He'd rather see them. Oh, to have, well, the happiness of Christ. And the Lord Jesus here speaks about my joy, his joy fulfilled in themselves. And think of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Oh, friends, to be like Jesus. That's God's plan. That's God's plan for you. You're wondering, what does God want me to do with my life? He wants you to become more like Christ. To be like Jesus. How often we lament over our sins and we lament that we're not like Christ at all. Is that your lament? That we're not like Christ at all. It's mine. At times we, like Apostle Paul, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. I am a wretched man. And yet despite this phrase, I have to say tonight to each and every one of us, it is God's grand purpose to make you and I like Christ. To be conformed to the image of His Son. That is in the plan of salvation. That's God's plan. That's God's plan for you tonight. In different ways that I have said to you, there are set forth to be like Christ. This conformity to Christ is God's grand purpose. Can I say this? The conformity to Christ is a gradual process. Now, this image of Christ being stamped upon us, it is not done in a moment. Now, there are many things happen to us in salvation in a moment. Think God's people have been chosen in Christ, accepted in Christ, crucified in Christ, buried in Christ, risen in Christ, seated with Christ, all once for all experiences. But this conformity of Christ is totally different. It is a slow and a gradual experience. Paul said, Christ being formed in us, are developing and are developing more and more like Christ. It's a gradual process. Now, the Westminster Confession of Faith, of course, is the standard of our church. And it says it's called sanctification. That's a big word, but that's what it means, to become more and more like Christ. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. And notice the words, and enabled more and more. Getting more and more and more. What like? Like Jesus. More and more, friends. And I can say tonight, as every year goes on, we should be getting more and more like Christ. This development is gradual. Process. It's gradual because of the development. You see, a Christian is to grow. When you get a little baby, you watch it, friends. You know, this may be born a full-grown man or a full-grown woman. You watch the development. There it goes. It's on the dummy tit, or on the milk, and the farley's rust, and all the rest of it. And you see it developing, and growing, and walking, and talking, and everything. That's the same thing with the child of God. The Bible talks about newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. See, it's gradual because of the development of the Christian. We are to grow. There's no doubt about it. You can read in the Bible, it talks in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3 about growing, what? In faith and charity, which is love. Peter speaks in 2 Peter 3 verse 18, but grow in grace. And there's this growing process taking place in the life of the Christian. This gradual process to becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, it is gradual because of the development. And I want to say tonight, it will be completed. It will be totally completed in the lives of all of God's people. It will be completed. You know what the Bible says? In 1 John 3 verse 2, speaking about Christ coming, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There it is. We're going to be like Him. Completely, friends. On that day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and to take His people home, John could write, we shall be like Him. Right to the end of time, this development takes place, friends. It is gradual because of the difficulties. The image of Christ being stamped upon us is difficult. There's so much against us. There's so much opposed us. This image of Christ being formed within us. The world comes against us, and the flesh comes against us, and the old devil, and there's this resisting to the conformity of Christ. Resisted every step of the way. It's difficult, it takes time. But it's being done. And it's being done in your life. God is doing this, as we'll see. In Galatians 5 verse 7, ye did run well, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Hindered. Maybe there's things in your life tonight hindering this process at the moment. Maybe there's things in your life need to be changed. that in a sense is holding up this growth in our life. We need to search our hearts, our lives. We need to bring these things to the blood of Christ and to claim cleansing in the blood of Christ. But all of this conformity is a gradual process. Christ being formed in his people. And it's taking place in my heart tonight. And it's taking place in yours. Do people see that? Do people see in your life that you're becoming more and more like Jesus? It's all that really matters, you know. We will pass quickly through this world, each and every one of us. One day, if dear friends, you'll be carried up to the front of this church. It'll be your funeral. What will the minister say? What will the people say? Would you have left the testimony that you belong to Christ? Would the people remember you as a man or a woman which had the image of Christ stamped upon you? That's the way I want to leave the world. At the funeral there on Saturday at Sam Rogers. And I said I'd like to end my life well. That I was the Lord's and I lived my life for the Lord. And people could see Jesus in me. Oh, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All that I ask is to be like him. Is that your desire tonight? To be like Jesus. That's God's will for all of us. It's a gradual process. Can I say this conformity of Christ? I want to look at the general procedure. Well, this, how does the Lord do it? How does the Lord conform us to the image of his Son? Can I say, first of all, it's a spiritual work. It says in 1 Peter 1 verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. And this whole work of sanctification is giving to the Holy Spirit of God. And he comes and he works more and more in the life of the child of God, forming us into the image of Christ. He teaches us of Christ. And he makes us more and more like Jesus. And I want to say this. Praise the Lord, it's a work of God. Or it would never be done at all. It would never be done at all, friends. If it was left to me to conform myself in more and more the image of Christ, it would not be done at all. It is a work of the Spirit of the living God, the sanctification of the Spirit, and the Spirit within us, making my life, making me more and more like Christ. Do you see this in your life? The Spirit of God making you more and more like Christ. It is his work. Praise God. It will be done. It's a spiritual work. Can I say another way? God did not by a spirit but by the scriptures. Now we do know we need to get into the Bible. And I hope all here read the Bible. But remember this. The Bible needs to get into us. It needs to get into our hearts and into our lives. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ says in John 17 verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And Christ here is saying about, well, sanctify them, make them more holy. How was this going to be accomplished? Well, he says through the Bible. Through the word of God. Because in Ephesians 5 verse 26, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. By the word of God. And in Psalm 119 verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Ah, the word of God in our life will cleanse our life. And by obeying the word of God will make us more and more like Christ. God uses the Bible. That's why you should read the Bible. Do you read the Bible? You say you haven't time. Listen, we have time for many things. It'll not take you too long to read a chapter in the morning. Lunchtime, evening, night, whatever. Do you take time to read the Word of God? The more we get into the Bible, the more we become like Christ. So God took to do this in my life and in your life. He uses His Spirit and He uses the Word of God. And another thing God will use is suffering. Affliction. God will use this to make us more like Christ. Now how do we get this? Well, in Hebrews 12 verse 6, from whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Now there are times when our Heavenly Father has to lay His wrath upon His children. We don't like it. But there are times God does this to train us. Did we not do it with our own children? The rod or the stick or the wooden spoon, whatever was sitting, they got it. What for? To train them. Didn't like it. But you see, friends, it had to be done. And there are times when God's people, when they fail to obey His word, His commands, then in love He chases them and He chastises them in order to get them more and more to Christ. Now Hebrews 12 verse 10 tells us that, speaking about our fathers, that they chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, speaking of God, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Why does God chase us? Why does God chastise His people? Why does He come, friends, and lay His rod upon them in love, that we might be partakers of His holiness? That we might be like Jesus. That's what God does, you see. And sometimes God chases you and He chases me to make us more like Christ, to get us to stop and consider our ways. What am I doing? Where am I going to? To look at our life, to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh. There are times God uses suffering, you see, chastisement, to make us more like Christ. You see, that is God's plan for you. This is God's plan for me, to be conformed to the image of His Son. How are you progressing? How are you getting on? Or how has Christ been formed in your life? As I have said earlier on, what about the improvement in your life from last year? Ah, friends, as you look in the mirror of the Word of God, can you see yourself more like Christ? Can you see this taking place? Now, this is God's plan for all of us, to be like Jesus. We look at people all around the world and they're following pop stars. I know when I was growing up, used to be the best city rollers. I'm sure some of you remember that. And we got our tartan scarves and trousers and everything else. And we were like these boys from Scotland. Ah, friends, God wants us to be like Jesus. Is that what you want with your life? Just to be like Him. And to behave like Christ. And to act like Christ. And to speak like Christ. And to love like Christ. Oh, to be like Jesus. And to pray like Jesus. That's what God wants. That's a standard, isn't it? That's a high standard, but that's God's standard for us. That's God's standard for me. And we'll do it by His help. You pray the Lord will help you in your life to cast out the things that need to be cast out. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Ask God to bless you every time you read the Bible. Ask the Lord to be with you and to make you more and more like the Lord Jesus. May the Lord write His word upon all of our hearts, for His name's sake. Amen.